Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're going to talk about taking a risk today. And the thing is, as I was looking, for a way to start this, I thought, let's talk about some people in history that took a risk. And the first one is Dwight Eisenhower. Now, he was the supreme commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force in Europe during World War II. Of course, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And he was the 34th president of the United States. He advocated the peaceful use of atomic energy, arranged an armistice to calm South Korea's border, and worked with the crisis that were facing Lebanon at the time. And Eisenhower served two terms elected by a landslide, each vote. Thomas Edison, the inventor and businessman most famously known for being the inventor of the first practical incandescent light and the phonograph. Let's see, which one's more important? Edison contributed to the Industrial Revolution of the late 1800s and is credited with helping build America's economy during the time. Over the course of his life, Edison patented over 1,000 of his inventions. Neil Armstrong, an astronaut, and the first man to set foot on the moon in 1969. Vic, you knew Neil too, didn't you personally? Oh, I thought you did. Okay. What's important, I got that one too. Armstrong trained as a pilot for the Navy, eventually entering the NASA astronaut program. After his career as an astronaut, Armstrong taught as a professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Cincinnati. Finally, Martin Luther. 1517, he put the 95 Theses on the door of Wittenberg of the cathedral. Diet of Worms, 1521. Diet of Worms. Aren't you glad you don't have to eat worms? The diet of worms? Anyway. Was an imperial diet, that in this case it means a meeting, of the Holy Roman Empire, called by Emperor Charles V. And it was conducted in the imperial free city of Worms. Martin Luther was summoned in order to renounce or reaffirm his views in response to a papal bull of Pope Leo X. So in answering to the questioning, he defended these views and refused to recant them. At the end of the diet, the emperor issued the Edict of Worms, which is a decree which condemned Luther as a notorious heretic and banned citizens of the empire from propagating his ideas. Although the Protestant Reformation is usually considered to have begun in 1517, the edict signals the first overt schism, and that was 1521. You know, as I was doing this, I was thinking of a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Think about that for a second. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. I add three words to it. And without perseverance. Man, if you don't get excited about it and you don't work at it, it ain't going to happen. Boy, that's the answer to a lot of things, isn't it? You know, when Luther wrote the 95 Theses, he didn't want to destroy the Roman Catholic Church. He wanted to bring out some points to discuss on the collegiate level. He was a college professor. After all, Dominican priest and a doctor of the church, and a discussion of theology was normal at a theological university. So in 1517, was Luther taking a risk? Nope, not a nine yet. He was being a university professor. But at the Diet of Worms, the meeting called by the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, to question Luther about his stance on his writing is where Luther took a stance. If he was convicted of heresy, he would have been burned at the stake. I mean, there's no light sentence here. But here was where Luther made his statement. Here I stand, I can do no other. Boy, you talk about taking a risk. You know, our reading from 1 Corinthians today deals with this subject. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Where does it say they're going to give participation trophies in that sentence? So in order to achieve something, we got to try. And we've got to try with enthusiasm. You got to get excited. Or folks, we never achieve anything. But the other thing, and that's where the perseverance comes in, never give up. You know, we just talked about Thomas Edison. Anybody know how many light bulbs he made before he found one that worked? A lot. Okay. Over 10,000. And somebody asked him one time, how did you handle failing all those times? He said, I didn't fail. I found 10,000 ways that it wouldn't work. Good way of looking at things, isn't it? You know, most of us here were in the ELCA, which for years was a tremendous organization. You know, but the end of the 90s, it began to change. I was a voter in Phoenix at the National Convention when homosexual clergy first came up. It was voted down in the ELCA 97% to 3%. That's sort of taking a pretty solid stance on it, isn't it? Okay. 4 years later, it was passed. 51% to 49%. Now, 1%. But it sure changed things, didn't it? You know, I think this decision broke the Senate apart. And you know, it's still reeling from a 20-year-old decision. Folks, one of the things that I have discovered, I mean, I was in the ELCA for 25 years. And as I tell people, I didn't leave the ELCA. The ELCA left me. But in the Society of the Holy Trinity, I serve with a lot of confessional, good ELCA pastors. But many of them right now are getting a lot of hassles. In fact, you know, I'm on the colloquy, National Colloquy Board for the LCMC. And we had a pastor come through who was defrocked in the ELCA. He was pulled out of his church. The church that he started had 300 members. They pulled him out of it. He wouldn't go to a class of LGBT, not awareness, but acceptance. And he said, I don't want to do that. It's not in the Bible. So his bishop pulled him out, took him out of his church. Did he take a risk and take a stance? Oh, yeah. You know, part of the thing is, when this happened, we were told in many churches that you were going to have to accept either a lesbian or a gay pastor. Folks, the Bible is very clear about that. I mean, we don't close the door to people. But I think in the holy ministry is something that we took a stand. So what happened 10 years ago, a lot of people at Hope took a stand and said, no, we're not going to do that. Did those people take a stand? Did they take a risk? Sure they did. And, you know, when they joined the LCMC, it was a big risk. There's no church building, no pastor, no money, no worship equipment, no nothing, except the people willing to take the risk and stand up and say, here we stand, we can do no other. Now, let's move forward 10 years. We've got 40 members, 34 today. Of course, we have some guests, but we have some other people that aren't here. Our budget's in the black for the first time in 4 years. Thank you, Dean. We are being given. I had talked to Warren Hope. Warren was going to try and make it today. But, you know, he does construction work. You know what he said it would cost to duplicate this building right now? Between $400,000 and $500,000. So when somebody gives us a $500,000 gift, that's one heck of a gift. And thank you, League. Has the Holy Spirit blessed our congregation? I think so, too. And since we have people here from Hope, too, has He blessed Hope? Sure He has. You know, we as human beings make decisions. God does as He sees fit. If it's God's will, it'll work. The thing that gets me, there's a lot of startup congregations. Okay, Peggy Sue and I, my first call was to Alabama. Agape Lutheran Church. What a great name, Agape. Unconditional love. Made it, what, 5 years, 6 years? And died. Okay? Most startup congregations die within the first 5 years. And today, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. What a blessing that is, isn't it? You know, when Jesus healed that leper in our gospel lesson today, He told him to do what? Now, don't you go out and tell anybody about this. So what did He do? He went out and told everybody. That's called reverse psychology. I don't want you to say anything. Okay, there goes. You know, Jesus knew one of the best ways to tell a story was tell somebody to be quiet about it. But folks, isn't that what is happening to us? You know, we're one of the best kept secrets of Port Charlotte. But you know, we're beginning to have that story get out. I love to tell the story. If I could found accompaniment for that today, we would have sung that. But I couldn't. But was it a risk worth taking? You know, of course it was. As Emerson said, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And folks, I think that's what happened to us. And I know will continue to happen to us in the future. I want to tell the story. It's not the story of our church. It's the story of Jesus Christ and the salvation He earned for us on the cross. My friends, may this story of the blessings of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and the lives of this church keep your hearts and minds on the goal of our religion, eternal life with Jesus in heaven. And the people of God respond with, Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.